Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. While Scotland have not played in a few weeks, there has been plenty of rugby news going on and plenty of scandal to talk about as well. So it's Dave, Matt and Alan back with you to take you through all that interesting goings on in the world of Scottish rugby. Matt, how are you doing tonight, pal?
Yeah, good, mate. I think I'm still trying to get my head around what's going on with the French game. And I don't think we quite have 100% clarity, but it looks as if there's at least a date being proposed so we can start to look forward to a bit more actual rugby.
Yes, there is a glimmer of hope emerging from the sort of mirage of waffles coming out of the French camp. Alan, how are you getting on?
All right. I'm obviously going a little bit stir crazy because obviously I dropped like quite a lot of money on a 99 to 2000 Glasgow Caledonia short sleeve strip last night on the sort of old classic rugby shirt website, which feels like a bit of a rogue purchase, but no, quite.
Is that the red and blue one that they've made a modern version of for the training top this year?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like red, blue, and white, and it's got sponsored by Cali 80. It's an absolute classic strip,
and so nice.
And obviously in XL with short sleeves, sort of the perfect sort of slightly obese 30-year-old man, sort of like watching rugby top.
So a kind of heavy cotton as well.
Yeah, heavy cotton. So
very nice.
Really excited to see used. Not sure what sort of condition it's in, or whether it was sort of previously a large and been stretched a little bit. No, it's not really clear from the website what sort of what's going to arrive. But no, just last night I was like, you know what? It's been Freya's 4 months, and whilst it's been absolutely lovely, it's been tough, and you know, I deserve something nice. So I used the joint account to buy Glasgow Caledonia top.
The Freya dividend paying off. Well, very good. I look forward to receiving it. I've always looked at that website, at the sort of vintage Scotland tops, and I've always failed to transact because I've just never been sure of what would actually arrive.
Yeah.
So I really hope you've not been ripped off.
No, I'm the same. I always sort of look at a few things and I'm like, that would be nice, but then you realize it's a completely ridiculous purchase. But last night, don't know what my mental state was. I was like, I'm getting this now. So yeah.
Well, I'm all for you know doing what you need to do to get through lockdown. While there has been no rugby to speak of, or no international rugby for Scotland, I should say there have been some pro team losses, which we will come to later. That has not stopped everybody chatting to us and keeping in touch. So thanks very much for all of that. Our Twitter has been absolutely on fire this Six Nations period. That's at Thistle Rugby Pod. You can keep up with us on Instagram. That's Thistle_Rugby_Pod. And the mailbag as well, thistlerugby@gmail.com. Please do send us your thoughts and feelings in there. You've also been giving us reviews on iTunes. Really, really great. There's sort of good, bad, and ugly coming through, but it really helps us spread the word of the pod. More people find us. So if you can get on there, onto iTunes, and leave us a 5-star review, like this one from SRU Shill, which said, "Love listening to the Thistle guys. Are the quizzes a bit rubbish? Yes. Does Dave know anything about rugby apart from that Dan Parks is the greatest? No, but that's the whole point. It's a reliable and well-run fan pod that you don't have to be a rugby obsessive to enjoy." I really think that SRU Shill has picked up on a lot of our key points there.
Sort of a compliment, but also like quite a lot of criticism, like subtle criticism there at the same time.
Yeah, and not so subtle criticism, I would suggest. But look, if it's not about Dan Parks, is it worth knowing? Is the question that I would like to pose. You know, it's work smarter, not harder. We've already peaked with Dan, so why do we need to learn anything more? There was another one, speaking of unsubtle criticism, from Jimmy Boy 1964. Who gave us a 1-star review and said, "Alan's accent is everything I dislike about Edinburgh." Alan, would you like to rebut Jimmy Boy?
I mean, it's a real blow. I, to be honest, I never really sort of saw myself as having sort of the quintessential, which I assume he's going for, a sort of private school Edinburgh accent. But, you know, maybe there's something sort of specific about, you know, the tone and pitch of my voice that's just really grinded this lad down.
There's been quite a lot of chat recently around sort of social media and, you know, verification of identity, etc. But, you know, Jimmy Boy is a name that, you know, that's a serious person.
Jimmy Boy 1964. I like to think that maybe he was on like a night out in the Bailey and he just like overheard you when you were like really pissed one night, Alan, and it's just like stuck with him. And it's just this, he had a really bad experience in the Bailey or down in Stockbridge or something, and he just associates you with it.
Fair play. Apologies, Jimmy.
Jimmy was just trying to have a good night out with his lads. But anyway, moving on from there. So if you can get into iTunes and give us a bit of a review, that would be fantastic. And if you do find yourself enjoying the pod or the Twitter account or anything that we're doing, you can now sort of, you can show us your feelings by sort of buying us a coffee. That's on buymeacoffee.com/thistle. And chuck us a couple of quid, buy us a virtual pint of Tennent's or a flat white for the more Stockbridge connoisseur. And it will be greatly received. That's buymeacoffee.com/thistle. So I actually have just one final bit of parish newsletter business, and that is once again to shout out our friends at Rob Mack, who are our sponsors throughout the Six Nations. They're an independent financial advisor specializing in mortgage management, financial planning, and investments. They are huge followers of Scottish rugby, so they are absolutely gasping for the Ireland game in 10 days' time. So if you do need any of those services, you can check them out at robmack.co.uk. Thanks to them. So, parish notice board has been cleared. We've done all of our engagements on there. We can get down to the meat and drink of the business, which is the shit show that has surrounded the postponed France game. As we are recording, this is Thursday evening, 4th of March. There are rumours that are looking fairly solid that the game is going to be played on Friday, the 26th of March. We understand that the English Premiership teams have said that they will release the players. So if you think about your Stuart Hoggs and your Johnny Grays, for example, back to the Scotland camp to be able to play that. But it's still not been confirmed. Alan, it's all just a bit of a mess. What the hell are the sort of Six Nations organisers up to?
Well, yeah, as you're saying, it's more a rumour. There's nothing, you know, we're sort of avid followers of the Six Nations Twitter account. And whilst, you know, they have been tweeting out about how it's Friday tomorrow, they haven't specifically tweeted out any actual details of the Scotland match, but it feels like the people that are tweeting about it probably wouldn't be putting out that information if it wasn't pretty reliable. So I think it feels like whilst obviously the SOU aren't happy about it, we discussed this between us sort of a couple of days ago, that there's a, with the amount of broadcast money that is at stake, whilst it's easy to be like, oh, it'd be fair if Scotland got a 28-0 win, and I think there's a fair argument for that. Actually, when it comes down to cold hard money and the fact that the unions are struggling so much financially, they can't sacrifice whatever it is, couple million pounds, and not play this game. So if we start from the position, the game had to be played, and it couldn't be played this weekend because of isolation and COVID rules, this feels like the next best scenario.
Yeah, and it certainly does feel that there's an awful lot of sentiment around the, I guess, like Scotland deserving a walkover. Certainly because there's huge numbers of rumours swirling around, you know, not just Fabien Galtier, but other members of the French squad sort of actually flagrantly breaching the bubble. Matt, would you have taken the 28-0 and run?
I think when all this news was first coming out, that was my initial reaction, just because it felt as if France were the ones that had made the mistakes. And, you know, ultimately, this is a pandemic that breaks all the rules. Forgive the pun. So it's difficult to, like, I didn't want to blame people, but it seems as if France have made mistakes and have broken these pre-agreed, or at least what we thought were pre-agreed bio-bubbles. And for them to just be able to rearrange the match, and for a period, it looked as if they were going to be able to rearrange with their better players and Scotland maybe missing some players. You know, I was looking towards that 28-0, but then, you know, you sort of, as Alan was saying, take a bit of a step back, think about the money. And I also think, despite Corona, I think it's actually been a pretty good Six Nations so far. You know, specifically for a neutral, for instance. So I think that Scotland versus France, with the way that Scotland has shown that they can play, France still gunning for the title, getting the game played in some form, I think is probably the best outcome overall, actually, for as many parties as possible.
And the French rugby union have picked their blood sacrifice. Some young sevens players taking the knife.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, you couldn't make it up. I absolutely loved Laporte's reaction, where, I mean, fair enough, it's an internal investigation. I think the SOU were very good at sort of, you know, brushing it under the carpet. But you could probably say it in better terms than Bird Laporte saying, well, look, I'm not a doctor, so what do I know? It's like, yes, but there are doctors out there who have said, this is a bio-bubble. This is why you shouldn't break it. Like, it's such a terrible excuse.
I just think, you know, we're what, 15 months into sort of coronavirus being at least part of our lives, 12 months into it being a very significant part of our lives. I just don't think, you know, shrugging the shoulders and being like, I'm not a doctor, really washes in March 21 as much as it maybe would have washed in March 2020. I mean, what I loved about it is just it was quintessentially French. You know, the you breaking the bio bubbles to go and get waffles in Rome, the sort of the rumors swirling that Galtier was visiting his girlfriend in Paris and things like that. The whole thing just had a very sort of French feeling. And then that internal investigation, which was sort of farcical in its conclusions. It was nice. It's sometimes nice when stereotypes are reinforced. And I think the French do it better than anyone.
And we've got a match.
And I think that's what the fans wanted. So that's going to be 26th of March, which is 6 days after what would have been Super Saturday, the final day of the Six Nations. So Alan, do you want to take us through what the sort of the permeations might be for Scotland on that last weekend?
It's permutations, not permeations, mate. If you want to cut that,
quite a lot.
If you want to cut that out,
good. No,
do you correct Heather's grammar like this?
I don't know, mate. You work in communications. Like, this sort of thing should be your bread and butter.
Do you know what? Autocorrect is my best friend. Well, could you introduce Alan then? What are the various what did you say? Permeations?
Permutations.
Permutations.
Permutations. Permutations,
Alan.
Permutations.
Please, yep. Give me those permutations.
I actually have had a little look, and it's actually a little bit more difficult than I had originally anticipated. I think if Wales get a bonus point versus Italy this weekend, then it starts to make it very difficult for Scotland, because they need then a minimum all to win all three games, and they need at a minimum to get two bonus point wins. And even with that, it still will come down to points difference. So the door isn't shut, but there is an annoyingly vast amount of Welsh players stood behind the door, closing it very, very quickly. And yeah, I think if Wales get anything out of the French game, that's basically it over for Scotland. But, you know, get a bonus point win versus Ireland and a bonus point win versus Italy, we could be going in looking for something, and the French could be going in with not much to play for. So you never know.
Well, that would be quite good. And you think you'd expect, or you'd certainly hope, this Scotland team would be able to run up a bonus point win against Italy, this Italian side that have been consistently below par in all of their fixtures so far. But yeah, I suppose it's going to be a very interesting one. Ireland, it puts an awful lot of emphasis on Ireland, more than there would have been anyway, coming up in 10 days' time. And we will, of course, be back to preview that game fully next week, when we finally get a chance to watch some bloody rugby.
What Scottish players have played in Ireland we can get on the pod? I was trying to think. Rob Dewey? Who's Simon Danielli?
Simon
Danielli.
Has anyone else played
Dan
in
Parks?
Dan Parks. Let's get him in. The last I saw of Dan Parks was definitely part of like the Fiji rugby squad at some point, but then I'm not sure if, in terms of coaching.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I think he had like an assistant gig with one.
I'm connected with him on LinkedIn because I was trying to slide into his DMs once to get an interview at some point. He lives in Sydney. He's a business development manager at a logistics company
and assistant Fiji coach.
Speaking of reinforcing biases, I think the fact that we approach people for interviews via LinkedIn probably reinforces a lot of biases people think about us.
Hey, look, it's got us good interviews in the past. Maybe.
That's true.
Let's should we send a follow-up LinkedIn message to Dan Parks and try and get him on for next week?
I can do that. We are connections.
Can't believe you're in Dan Parks' professional network.
Yep.
That is... Have you endorsed him for anything?
Nicky Walker as well. We're connected as of last week. I was trying to get him on for the Wales bit, but he was too slow to accept my request.
Nicky, man.
I know.
Well, look, if you are a former Scotland player that has played in Ireland and is, you know, looking to expand your professional network, Matt Haney on LinkedIn, find him and get on there. But there have been some updates to try and wrestle this back to Scottish rugby and the Ireland game next weekend. There have been some updates to the Scotland squad for the next round of the games. They're made before the France game. The one that is most worthy of discussion is Bath back row Josh Bayliss, who's actually captaining the Bath side at the moment. Matt, what do you think he can add to sort of Townsend's squad?
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't seen him really play much until this season, where he's sort of broken into that Bath first team. And I think he's played a lot of rugby at six, but in recent weeks, he's also been playing in the second row as well. It was interesting, Zach Mercer was interviewed this week, which just kind of emphasized, like, he's had two England caps and he could qualify to play for Scotland. And he definitely would have got, you know, at least 50. But he was talking about how impressed he's been with Josh Bayliss this season, and particularly his ability to move into the second row, which isn't his favourite position, and front up really well. So once again, it's a really nice option to have. And I think in a world where the Scotland squad, Townsend still feels like he needs to bring in someone like Rob Harley with, you know, the best will in the world. Rob Harley's not a guy that you really want to be playing for Scotland at the moment. Whereas Josh Bayliss maybe is a potential international and someone who gives you the same options that he does.
Do you know what else? The SIU released some photos of him training. He's an absolute hunk. I reckon he's going to be up there with sort of your Tom Evans's, Sam Hidalgo Klein's for sort of best looking Scotland players quite soon. So, Alan, are you excited to see that? That's a bit of a dreamboat added to the Scotland squad.
Always excited to see a dreamboat playing for Scotland. You sort of say Josh Bayliss, and if I'm honest, I was a bit like, I don't really. I've heard the name, but I'm not. I definitely. I can now pick him up a lineout, but I couldn't back then. But I do think when you look at the back row, and obviously it's great having Watson and Richie, but I actually think if you look in the pack compared to the front row and the second row now, I actually think the depth at back row is probably weakest. So I think having a player like Josh Bayliss, who now obviously captaining Bath at the weekend, playing with at a pretty good level week in, week out, is only a good thing. So no, great to see.
Yeah, so we will be very interested to see if he makes anywhere near the sort of the match day 23 when we come to that Ireland game. And as I say, we'll be back next week with a new LinkedIn friend to interview, hopefully, to preview that Ireland game for us. But it has been a veritable bonanza of signings coming out of Glasgow in particular over the last couple of weeks. Some really interesting ones to talk about. I think the standout one for me is a lad coming from the Japanese league. So, you know, fair play to the SRU's Japanese scout, Sione Tuipulotu. I can't actually remember the name of the Japanese club he plays for, but he's Australian. He's got a Glaswegian granny, and he's heading to Scotstoun. Matt, what have you made of him?
Yeah, so I think he's come from the Yamaha Jubilo, whatever that translates as. I mean, Glasgow put up a little highlights reel of him playing, I think it was just in the Japanese league. And he looks really good in it. Like, he looks like a powerful runner. He's a kind of stocky, powerful unit. And I was thinking, okay, this is quite interesting. He's only 25 years old, Scots qualified, as you say. But then you think back to, like, when you see Ryan Snaiman playing in the Japanese top league, and, like, he's running around with the ball and, like, his yeah. fingertips and, like, making everyone look like a bit of a joke. So there are obviously some like world-class players in that league, but I don't know about the overall standard. I mean, you look back at his pedigree, and apart from Japan, he's played like Australian schoolboys. He only played like 30 games for the Rebels across 3 or 4 seasons. And, you know, it was a time when the Rebels were new to the Super Rugby competition, but they were also consistently like bottom three. So I think the jury's out a little bit, but as I say, I think he looks like he's got quite a lot of raw talent and is, you know, he's young enough to improve. And you probably would have said the same about someone like Sam Johnson when he signed, like an unknown from Australia, and we know how well he's done for Glasgow and Scotland.
The mystery man out in Japan is Jun Kagawa, who found an old Scotsman article, and it was saying, there is even a Scottish qualified scout out in Japan, although it's not obvious just how many Scots there are for Jun Kagawa to identify over there. Well, there's one, and he's bloody well found him, hasn't he?
Fair play to Jun.
Great 3.5-year gig he's had, though. Like, Diggy's spoken to literally every single player who's ever played the top league. He's like, Scottish granny. Anyone got a Scottish granny? And then to be fair, he probably wasn't expecting this was the guy that was going to say yes to that question.
Do you think when he was sort of scouring the team names, he just for a second he saw Greg Laidlaw and he's like, oh, that guy sounds so Scottish, like, finally. finally I've got one. Oh, no, it's Greg Laidlaw.
Does it give much interest? I presume the Scotsman article doesn't go into huge amounts of detail about Jun Kagawa's background as to why they've ended up being Scotland's scout.
I've got it. He's been part there. I mean, it all makes sense now. He's been part of Scottish rugby's Nagasaki Union partnership for the last 3 years. Sorry, what? That has been mentioned once and never been talked about before.
They did that before the World Cup.
2017.
Nagasaki's got a tartan. Do you not remember?
Oh, yeah.
Tartan in Japan as well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, fair play. You know, Sione could be playing for Scotland this summer. You know, like, who knows what he'll go on a summer tour, Lions year. He might just get chucked in at the deep end.
But, so the scouts...
Romania away.
The scouts been there since 2017.
I'm going to assume, I hope, that he has a second job. It can't be full-time.
I just think that even if it's like part-time, to have been there for 4 years and got one player doesn't, I don't know, doesn't seem that great.
On LinkedIn?
I'm looking right now.
Let's get him.
Who else have we got?
Beyond Mr. Tupilotu, there was a hat-trick of young and exciting Scottish signings. Rufus McLean and Ollie Smith both extended their time or signed their first professional deals with Glasgow and New Zealand under-20s, Scots qualified back. Cole Forbes was also confirmed on a contract with Glasgow. Focusing on Cole in particular, Alan, what do you make of that signing of Cole Forbes from New Zealand?
Well, I mean, had an absolute shocker of a start. I think he got yellow carded before he touched the ball. He literally took that lad out in the air.
Yeah.
And got yellow carded 50 minutes into the match without touching the ball. So, but to be fair, to give him his dues, I actually thought when he had the ball in hand, he looked like a good player. He was a lot of attacking threat. I think that back three for Glasgow at the weekend, obviously it was about, had an average age of about 20, but all three of them clearly are pretty handy in attack and all don't seem to have much fear. But yeah, both him and Ollie Smith had sort of moments where potentially wasn't the best moment of their debut, you might say.
It did feel a bit going from Cole Forbes, who no one had ever heard of before, to us kind of figuring out that he was on a trial to 3-year contract to start within, like, from absolutely nowhere. So I clearly they'd seen enough in training to think he could handle a start against Leinster, but it does feel pretty green going into that kind of level.
Yeah,
absolutely. 100%. But I think it was looking at that Leinster game in particular, which we'll come back on to talk about in a little bit of detail. You know, it really was a bit of a sign of things to come in Glasgow. That was an extremely young backline in particular. And as you say, some interesting and exciting touches from those lads. Rufus McLean getting his first professional try in the process, which was good to see. And that trio have been joined by a couple more today from Edinburgh. Rory Darge and Ali Miller, both back rows, have made the move or will be making the move to Glasgow this summer. Matt, this is quite an interesting one in the context, I suppose, of SRU resource management.
Yeah, well, I think there've been some speculation for a while that one or two of those Edinburgh back row players were going to move across to Glasgow. And when you look at how many guys are playing at Edinburgh at the moment, or rather are not playing, because there's just...
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've got the first choice Scottish back row. You've got Bill Mata. And even behind that, you know, you've got Luke Crosby and Magnus Bradbury, for instance, that it seemed pretty mad that no one was going across. And even the emergence of Conor Boyle recently. And then I've always thought that Ali Miller sort of, when he came into the pro game, it took him a while to find his feet. He got sent off to Scotland Sevens. And I maybe thought we might have seen the last of him in the 15s game. But when he's had a shot, particularly over the last year or so, I think he's looked really good. He's taken those opportunities. And then you look across to Glasgow and maybe the lack of strength and depth in the back row, to have someone like Miller there, I think is a really sensible, great move. And hopefully he can, you know, get a bit more game time and keep improving.
Alan, are you similarly impressed?
Yeah, I mean, it just makes complete sense. I think when we were sort of looking at the stock of back rows at Edinburgh, I think once Watson, Ritchie, Mata and Haining had all signed, you then looked at the wider group and you had maybe five, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, you got Bradbury, you got Crosby, Darge, Miller and Boyle, and, you know, it felt like at least two of those could shift over to Glasgow, and you're going to complement Glasgow, but not really make a dent in Edinburgh. And I probably thought it was good. One of Bradbury or Crosby would shift across, but no, I think it's good. I think Ali Miller has shown signs of being sort of a good player and potentially might suit, you know, Glasgow's historic style a little bit more than Cocker's. And obviously, you know, Roy Darge still like what, 21? But clearly, you know, Scotland under 20s captain, there's a lot of people who think he can be sort of next big thing or next big cab off the rank. So
the next big cab off the rank, is that like one of those limos that you would, or like a stretched Hummer that you would hire for like a stag do or something?
Exactly. That's what he is.
The Hummer. That's what we should call him. New nickname.
The Hummer of Scottish rugby.
At Edinburgh, there have been some incomings as well as those outgoings. Most notably, a name that has been sort of mentioned an awful lot, particularly in the last 6 months, potentially coming up north, Ben Vellacott leaving Wasps, scrum half, coming to Edinburgh next year. He's a Scotland age grade cap, but then he was very close to playing for England at one stage, but now he's putting his lot in with Scotland. Matt, what do you make of Vellacott coming to Edinburgh?
Yeah, I think it had sort of been rumoured for a while, and then came out of the blue slightly, the actual announcement. But I think it's a really good thing. I think that Edinburgh probably needed just a bit of a refresh at nine. Henry Pergos probably, when he came over, started off reasonably well, but seems to just be struggling for form. And Nick Groom, after being quite an expensive signing probably, or at least like a higher profile signing, hasn't really done much. And it feels as if Charlie Sheil maybe hasn't had that many opportunities or maybe hasn't played, you know, exceptionally well when he has. So I think someone like Vellacott, who has got decent enough premiership experience, is still a young guy, and clearly has sort of done enough to gain the attention of Scotland and England international teams. I think it's a really good signing. I suppose the one doubt would be if you look at the style he plays with, which is more of that running nine, and you know he's 5'5", like he's that kind of George Horn type player. Whether under Richard Cockerell, you're going to get those sort of skills out of him, but you know we are sort of hearing that Edinburgh are potentially trying to expand their attacking play, so he's maybe the guy to help them do that.
And Alan, do you think we might see Vellacott challenging for a position in a Scotland squad sometime soon?
To be perfectly honest, I actually haven't seen that much of him. I just obviously see sort of pockets of sort of highlights of him playing, but it feels like there was sort of him and Charlie Chapman for a while, who were kind of these two kind of premiership, kind of second or third tier scrum halves who were kind of the next big thing and were sort of Scottish qualified. And I'd say sort of neither have managed to really make, they've actually just swapped between Wasps and Gloucester, and neither has really managed to kind of cut through into being that sort of first tier. But no, hopefully, you know, I think whilst Purgos is, given a great service to Scottish rugby, both Glasgow and Edinburgh over the years, I think it's pretty clear that Edinburgh probably needs a bit of a change in that direction to sort of go a step further. So, no, excited to see what you can do. And I know we were looking at there was the article on that website, sort of the 15 this week, about Finlay Christie and him chatting about coming over. And it probably sounded, I initially thought he might have come across to Edinburgh, but it sounded more like he was looking at coming across to England. And I imagine if he does make it across, he's someone that will jump the queue pretty quickly.
Do you reckon Finlay Christie played like one game of Super Rugby Aotearoa for the Blues and then was like, oh, there's a bit of interest from Scotland, and he watched just any Pro 14 game that involved Edinburgh or Glasgow and was like, nah, life's too short. Like, I don't need that in my life right now.
Yeah, spoke to Aki Suli, and he's like, what's it like? And he's like, mate, fucking stay away, son.
Aki Suli looks like he's having the time of his life.
He literally looks like the friendliest guy of all time. Very keen to get him on the pod at some point. But yeah, isn't exactly coming to Scotland, but obviously Hugh Jones rumoured to be going to Bayonne, which I'd say that our consensus is we don't think it's that great an idea.
I don't think it's a great idea for his rugby career. I mean, as you've said before, Bayonne are second bottom of the top 14, probably going to have to, I think there's a decent gap between them and the next team, probably going to have to play in a playoff to stay up at the end of the season. And you look at their squad, and granted, you know, we don't follow French rugby that much, but even the top 14, like towards the bottom of the table, there's some household names there, some big players. Don't know anyone in that team. Then at the same time, like he's come over to Scotland, he's given it a shot, and through whatever reason, it's not worked for him. Careers are short. I'm sure he's getting paid really well, gets to live in a really nice part of the world. I sort of don't begrudge him it too much.
No, agreed. As a man who's been forced to sleep rough in Biarritz, it is a nice place. It's, you know, it's good little spot.
But where are you? But can you just define how you mean forced? Because I thought you actually destroyed your own tent.
That was part of the story, but we did get to the end of the trip without a tent. But we weren't planning to sleep in a tent that night. We just all lost our bank cards and had no money. So we were planning to sleep in Biarritz Airport because we had a 7 a.m. flight. But it's one of those airports, which I just hadn't even thought about, which closes between like 12 and 5. So I was sleeping in the lounge and this cleaner woke me up and he's like, you've got to get out. And this is like, you know, the equivalent of Edinburgh Airport, right? It's like, not like it's in the center. It's like in the middle of nowhere. And he's like, you got to leave. And I was like, well, where am I meant to go? And he's like, I don't know. And I was like, can I go home with you? And he's like, absolutely no way. So I just sort of like slept on this sort of grassy knoll sort of in between the airport and this hotel for about 4 hours. And then went and got my flight back to Birmingham for some reason. Yeah, good times. It is a nice place though. And, you know, no one robbed me. It was warm enough. I could sleep outside.
How did we get there?
But I know what you mean.
You should do more reviews of European cities.
But I agree. I think, you know, from a sort of bank balance perspective, I imagine he's doing pretty well out of it. But I don't know. It's just always a bit annoying. Like, he's 27. He's obviously got so much talent. Like, you know, it would have been, how great would it have been to see, like, I know they're not sort of everyone's favorite dish, but, you know, how great would it be for him to play for, like, Saracens or someone like yeah, that? Just really, like, behind a big pack, behind a sort of really strong sort of 9-10 combination, getting a lot of ball. it'd be so great. Or even for like someone like a La Rochelle, etc. I just would love to see him in that position, because obviously he has come to Glasgow Warriors, but he has been at a time where not only have you had all sort of COVID stuff, but you know, Glasgow Warriors pack has struggled in a lot of big games to get the backs on the front foot.
Mm.
And also, obviously, there's been issues with the kind of what position he's in. So, but no.
Although he maybe, I don't know, the perception is he wouldn't fit in to somewhere like Exeter, whether actually Rob Baxter is such a great coach and he's so good at like picking up people who maybe have been slightly discarded by other teams and then put him behind like a pack that is always going to get front foot ball. You know, I think he can actually be quite good at somewhere like Exeter.
Yeah, completely agreed. But we'll see. It's not officially been announced though, has it?
Actually, I'm not entirely sure if there's been an official announcement from either club. I don't think Glasgow have acknowledged that he's leaving. And it certainly hasn't been announced by Bayonne, but it seems to be a fairly open secret. I think it was Jamie Lyle that sort of confirmed it. And I think Rob Robertson at the Mail also had it sort of confirmed. So it seems like it's a bit of a done deal, but we'll keep an eye on that. Sticking with Glasgow, looking ahead to the weekend coming up, it is that weekend that sparks fear into all Scottish rugby fans. The pro teams are playing the Italian sides. Only the worst can possibly happen. Glasgow versus Zebra, off the back of a pretty up-and-down match against Leinster at the weekend. Alan, I know you were watching the Leinster game. What did you make of the sort of youngsters coming through, and also what do you think their chances are against Zebra at the weekend?
I guess starting with like the plain facts, we're playing a team that are above us in the table, firstly.
It's brutal, isn't it?
So we're obviously 1 point behind Zebra to beat the Dragons. And I think, Matt, were you saying that Glasgow have never lost to Zebra in the history of the Pro 14?
Yeah, I saw they Glasgow put up like a head-to-head thing on Twitter. And I really was actually quite surprised. Like, I thought they would have lost them once or twice, but played 16-1-16, apparently.
There you go. I mean, if there's ever a time that you're going to lose, this feels like it could be the one. Although saying that, there was definitely enough in that match on Sunday night to, I think, make a lot of fans quite positive about potentially not, obviously, this season, depending what happened with the Rainbow Cup, etc. But generally for sort of next season, I think, you know, there is members of that pack that when they get going, they're pretty class and they can sort of keep up with the rest of them. I think sort of Tom Gordon, I think Richie Gray came into the game a bit more. Grant Stewart, for example. Leona Nakamura is trying stuff, but he's just so out of shape and so just sort of unaggressive around sort of the tackle and the ruck. It's just like quite sort of labored in everything he's doing. It's I actually, you know, and you know what's going to happen is he's going to spend like a summer getting in unreal shape and be like the best player in the world for Ulster next year.
Nakawara being in such bad nick, is the SRU finally getting their own back on Johnny Petrie? They're like, yeah, you could maybe have Nakawara. He's still class, yeah. Ulster you should come in and spend loads of cash on him. No, just they're like feeding him up, just being like, Leone, you need to bulk up, bro. That's what you need. And Petrie's taking the bait. Yeah,
we'll do the medical. Don't worry about it. Like, you can trust the docs.
Finally, getting one over on Petrie.
But no, obviously, Hastings' red card. It's a bit of a weird one. There was quite a lot of people who were pretty sour about it online, and I do get it. Obviously, Hastings isn't planning to kick someone in the face. At the same time, just like intent isn't a factor in a tackle, intent isn't really a factor in this either. And I think if you put your studs at face level and they accidentally get in someone's face, you've kind of got to expect to get a red card.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's like a really great example of where something like the orange card that they're trialing in Australia at the moment would be great. Like, because it's not deliberate foul play. It's kind of, he's probably just slightly misjudged the kick, which has meant that he's had to take it on his back foot. It's like clumsy. It's not dirty
100%
play. So, you know, I still don't think Glasgow would have won the game, but it would have allowed them, you know, to compete with 14 men for, or 15 men rather, for a lot more of the game.
And to your point about that yellow card, you know, even if you compare it to the Ferguson hit, you know, ultimately, whilst you can have an argument about what's happened with Ferguson, he ran into a ruck from distance and went in to smash someone and got his position and timing wrong. Whereas, to your point, Hastings literally like slipped.
Yeah, exactly.
Got someone in the face, but got a three match ban.
Yeah.
So, but actually that means, I think it now means Hastings and Ferguson will now be available for the France match, because this Glasgow match this weekend will count. And then both the Ireland and Italy games will count towards it. But going back to the game, it was a weird one where, you know, obviously Glasgow were down to 14 men at half time and it was 28-7, and I turned it off to watch Thor 3, and there was like 20 minutes into the second half and I looked at my phone and it was 28-21, and I managed to convince Ashley to let me watch the next 20 minutes. I was like, what the hell has happened to you? And obviously from sort of, you know, from people we've spoken to, obviously they sort of came back into the game, and obviously Ross Thompson came on, looks like, again, just had like a really composed performance, etc. And they really managed to kind of get quite close to it. And to be honest, quite an annoying yellow card in the last 10 minutes from TJ Ione meant that ultimately Leinster were able to kind of pull away. But it's good to see that, you know, you would have expected that team with so many players missing and so many youngsters in, down to 14 at half time, 28-7 down, Ross Thompson coming on at 10. Like, no one's expecting you to do anything, and to actually come out firing and to put in that sort of performance is actually really encouraging.
Once again, it was just slightly disappointing that it seemed to only be the young guys that were like taking the game to Leinster and sort of doing the little positive things on the pitch. And whereas you had guys like Wilson and Harley who are getting absolutely schooled by guys who have hardly played any Pro 14 games from like those young Leinster guys. But I think you're right. Like, I think you kind of look at the attitude and the body language from Dobie, Thompson, Forbes, McLean, Smith. And you kind of thought, like, you know, with a few of those guys, a few of the more experienced guys back in the fold, like the Fagersons, Price, etc., you know, it looked like a pretty, there is some promise coming through.
Dobie's delivery is a joke. It's so nice.
It's mad. I think he'll get capped for Scotland in the summer.
Yeah, I think so.
100% off the bench against Romania.
He certainly seems to be impressing all of the right people at every level he seems to go into, because he's been travelling as 24th man with the Scotland squad as well.
Yeah,
in all of the games, so they obviously trust him in the event that somebody gets hit by a car or something like that, that he can be the one that fulfills the spot on the bench. So, yeah, hugely talented young man. Edinburgh going down very, very close against the Scarlets as well. It just feels there's a real sort of like pattern in the pro teams at the moment, and with Edinburgh in particular, just sort of getting close but not quite being able to convert. Matt, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I kind of get the sense, and whether it's right or not, that Edinburgh and Glasgow, a lot of the players are just done with this season, just because of the disjointed nature of it, the fact that now there's not much to play for in terms of that within the league, at least in terms of qualification places for Europe. And I don't know, I feel with that team against a Scarlet side that haven't really done that much recently at home, with a few of the Scotland guys back in, like a Richard Cockerell coach Edinburgh team really should be winning that game. But I completely understand that. I can like sympathize with that, getting into that mindset. But I think I wrote it in the newsletter. So far this season, you haven't seen like Munster. I just can never see Munster and Leinster, for instance, taking that approach. Like, which maybe just sums up that, you know, Munster as a club as like an identity has been around a lot longer than Edinburgh. But I don't know, just maybe like to see a bit more almost pride in the jersey.
If Edinburgh get an all right draw in the Champions Cup, though, I generally think they could do okay.
Yeah, that's true.
With a full team, they've at least got the pack to cause some damage against most teams. Obviously, people like Racing and Toulouse are obviously probably a step too far. But if they get an okay draw, someone like, you know, people like Sale, for example, feels like those are the sort of teams that Glasgow can compete against. Sorry, Edinburgh.
So Edinburgh playing Benetton at the weekend, Glasgow Zebra. So we will be back, as I say, next week to probably not look back too much on those games unless something absolutely wild happens. But we will definitely be looking forward to Scotland returning to the Six Nations against Ireland, looking to put in place those building blocks to win the Six Nations on the new Super Friday, the 26th against France. Until then, keep in touch with us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod, and download and subscribe to our newsletter that's on Substack, the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast on Substack. You can get it on our socials as well. And yeah, until then, leave us a review on iTunes and we will speak to you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.